This is CliffCentral.com.
Here we go. Eric, you're in.
Yeah, of course I am. I'm here, man. Made it today. I'm on time.
Actual music doesn't sound so cuck now when it starts the show properly.
I like our music.
We've got a lot of cowbell.
Yeah, an excessive amount of cowbell.
Any more cowbell and it would be a gom track.
Gom.
Yes, gom.
Martin Davis.
Hello. Oh, sorry. Hello. Sorry. I just heard myself back in my head.
It's fine. I'll put you off and put you on. Say nice things.
Nice things.
There we go.
Yeah. Eric, are you back?
Ah, you know this. You're saying, am I back as if I was gone?
Been away, yeah.
I mean, back then, we don't do this the whole week.
I'm here. Oh, yeah, well, obviously. Are you back, Dave?
Do you think we should do this every day?
Ryan, are you back?
Are you back, Ryan?
I think
I'm back. I'm here.
Back from
I'm
the
back.
Dead.
I think we've got a solid two weeks on us. Or a month.
That's it.
Like 30 days.
Because
like
I was counting the podcast. I was trying to have like an episode where we do, this is 150th podcast or whatever it is.
How many
we did
go?
That a while ago, so it's fine. Because it's 2016, we took over the gas comedy.
How many episodes has it been, actually?
I can't figure it out. Cause I can't mind.
Since the beginning of
the year. So 2016 gas June comedy. Or something, gas comedy.
So there should be, what, 15?
2017, 28. 50 D. We've done 100 shows.
Yeah, we've done just over.
So either we stop now or we do more.
Eric was nice and early today, I just want to say. Actually, thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.
How many is it?
You're welcome. It should be about 9. No, not even 90. It should be 80-something. Because if you're saying if we took over in 2016, we're almost down to 2018. And what Dusty left in?
They will stop this very soon, listener.
This is an hour. This is
an
the
hour
show.
Of just discussing
how many episodes. I like the fact that you said listener.
And goodbye.
There is one.
There's literally only one listener. It's Vittorio.
Well, we start off in a nice way. Okay, we'll get into the comedy things. We'll get into the comedy.
Okay.
We were speaking outside about Giovanni's and their photographs of the crowd. Because you were on stage, and then there's one person in the audience, and it says last week was lit.
Lit.
And I felt that was wrong, and you said that's part of the internet.
Yeah, that's building your brand online, you know.
But it's a lie.
It is a lie, Dave. If you look at my social presence, it looks like I'm a happy-go-lucky guy.
No, I've seen some of your songs. Right. Cheer up, man. You know what you need in some of your guitar songs?
Cowbell.
Fucking cowbell.
Yeah, that's true.
Always, yeah.
Maybe you can do a guest appearance on one of my songs, just bring the cowbell.
No, I need my internet, what is it called? Marketing?
Social presence?
Social presence to be not sad.
Okay, fair enough.
As a comedian.
It's a different
sad,
strategy.
Martin? Do you get sad?
Yeah, we all get sad, don't we?
We're
human beings, yeah. But don't do it on social media.
Don't, poor me.
Shut up.
Don't be that guy that posts crying pictures.
Okay, you know that's
with it, your face is wet. It looks like you just wet your face and then took a selfie.
People don't want to know.
Yeah. Just cry on your own and then be like, yo, fuck the world. Like, we get that. That's okay. Just don't be that guy. That guy's weird.
But the myth of comedians being depressed, and it kind of happens when Robin Williams does kill himself.
Oh, it's a cliche.
Oh, you're all
it's
sad.
It's a cliche.
I'm sad, like
everyone's
any other person,
sad.
That when you don't have gigs, you don't have bucks, you can't pay your bills, those things.
Yeah, everyone's sad.
Aren't you? That's the nature of life.
Well, on a positive note, good morning.
Don't even try, life's the worst.
It's Friday.
Well, it's Friday, yeah.
And this podcast Friday, starts just now.
What time does this podcast start?
It's just now.
Excellent.
Yeah, man.
Martin, you were here nice and early. That is something I appreciate. If you're professional.
It's
also, Ryan, what else did you do?
The Curtsy of Kings.
What did he do?
He
reposted our promotional post for this. Yes. So thank you so much. Already our best guest.
All right.
7 minutes.
You didn't have to do anything, and you're already our best guest.
Oh, okay.
Show up. Show up's a good one too.
And I mean, you Uber here because you're from England.
Because we have a public transport system.
Yes, but you've never made use of our licensing system. You've never got a license.
I don't want one.
You don't want one.
And I've got bad night vision. I'd kill people if I decided
but
to drive.
But that's pretty much South Africa on the road.
No, I literally, you know, as a passenger, I sit there and I pretend I'm driving and then suddenly I'll go, I would have hit that person. Do you know what I mean? I literally sit in the car and go, I didn't see him.
You get out of the Uber and then for some reason you shout 9 and he's like, why did you say 9?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how many people you would have killed.
Literally.
New high score.
Yeah, no, literally. So that's why I don't drive.
Okay. Yeah. So then you'd be a perfect. I would put you in an advert for the Gautrain, for Uber, whatever. You're the guy.
Yes.
Who uses those things.
Yes.
You've caught the Gautrain to the airport.
Many times.
Really?
Even with the people who go to the stop before. I love that. I love that thing of people who've never been on the train before.
Oh, they get on before the airport. So,
on a Sunday, if you go on a Sunday, you get people who go to the stop because it's cheaper, isn't it? If you go to the
airport.
And they get off again and go across the platform and go back to where they come from. We've been on a train.
You're saying them, the ones just riding the train for no reason.
Just to be on a train.
Are people still doing that? But that was how many years ago?
My kid said to me, Dad, I want to go on the car train. And I turned off the highway, parked my car in Rosefield, went to Sandton, had ice cream, came back to Rosefield. It's like, there, boy, you've been on the train.
There you go, see?
And he was like, that was very quick. I'm like, that is sometimes the most fun things in life are very quick.
That's exactly.
Ask all the women I've been with.
That's what they intended this to be. Not the girls, the train. They wanted you to get ice cream really quickly.
We had a guy had ice cream this morning on the show. There were two kids.
Ice cream for breakfast, Jeff.
Oh. Shame. Eric's so sad now.
I missed it.
There was a 10-year-old kid that should have his own show. I'm just saying. The guy was, he just had answers. He never said, he was just, I suppose, woke. Kiddie confidence, man. They just don't know. They don't know. No one's told him, you can't do that. Shut up. Ryan.
No one has said no enough times.
No ums?
He was not from the East End. Richard Benoit has arrived.
Oh, shit.
Born wheezy.
So now, Martin.
Yes, love.
We wanted to talk about proper things here.
Do you? Wow.
You're from Cape Town. People need to know about you,
I'm not from Cape Town. I'm from London.
You live
in Cape Town.
But you're from proper London.
I'm proper London,
Like the where they shot
North
movies,
London.
Where they shoot.
Yeah,
like,
Lock, Stock and all that.
I was thinking Scrooge.
No, I wasn't around for Scrooge. Even though I come across as a Dickens character.
But how old are you?
61.
You fucking kidding me.
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Only 22.
That's a legend.
No, I'm 22. What are you talking
when
about?
When did you start comedy?
Freddie Mercury was still standing up. I don't remember.
I suppose. Did Freddie Mercury do stand-up?
No, but he was standing up.
He was still standing.
Yeah, he was still standing. It was that long ago.
Well, I was alive. It's 27. You were all alive when you were still standing.
No, probably 27.
So you started at 27. Did you have a real job before that?
I was a pastry chef.
Proper, like in this kitchen?
Proper. I worked on the QE2 and the Ritz Casino, that kind of thing. I was very good.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I never guessed.
Yeah.
So what was it like being in your kitchen, like with you? Were you chirpy?
I was very chirpy and I used to talk all the time and I never got told off because I was good at what I did. And the other chefs would go, why can he talk all the time? And the head chef would go, because he's good at what he does. Yeah, but why can't we talk? Because you're not as good as him. Shut up.
Okay. So you were good at what you were doing as a chef.
Yeah.
Plus you were quite chippy.
I was chippy. Yeah, I was always chippy.
What's your signature pastry?
I used to do a croque en bouche.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I also do a croque
en bouche.
I love those.
That's nothing to do with the shoe.
No idea. What is that? Wait, for those of you listening.
They made one on MasterChef.
It's like a French. It's a French version of a French version of a wedding cake. It's like profiteroles.
Yeah.
And you have to dip them in sugar, like very light caramel, and then you build them up into a tower. Okay. And it's very hard to do because you have to keep the caramel just
tangible.
Because otherwise, if it starts getting too dark, it goes dark and then it's bitter. So you have to really. It's hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you still do that stuff?
Yeah.
Are you asked to do it?
I never do it.
Can you? What are you doing on Sunday?
I'm all cooked out.
That's incredible.
No, but I can cook. I cook well. I know how to cook well. Yeah.
See, these are the things we don't know.
Yeah. Comics Choices should have a table at
the front.
There must be at Comics Choice a thing that other comedians that you didn't know they did.
There we go. What,
little table of crafts.
Yeah, like somebody can be there.
Nina Hasty makes leather whips. Angel makes.
Well, there was this thing. There was a club in London that had been open. I'd been out for about 30 years and they had a big party and I did the cake and they didn't know I was doing a cake for them. And I turned up with this big cake and they went, oh, where'd you get that? I went, no, I did it.
Jeez.
Wow. And everyone was like, what? I went, yeah.
And then 27, you're making cock brands and cock rands.
Cock and bush.
Did you always have that hairstyle that you have now?
I've had it off and on, yeah.
But you had to have a hairnet as a chef. You couldn't have that regular.
No, I didn't even wear it. As I said, I could get away with murder.
Rock and roll.
I really was.
Oh, we love Martin. No. He's so much
fun. Did you not see that
picture? He brings life into the kitchen.
Now, did you not see that picture?
And he kills people in the kitchen too.
Now, did you not see that picture of me once where it was a cookery thing and I'd won an award.
I'm going to go look for it.
And I had like Ray-Bans. the hair. So scared. I looked like I was heroin on this.
And as opposed to what do you look like now?
now he is on heroin.
I am on heroin. No, but they were giving me the... And the guys who were giving me the medal were looking at me going, we hate you. We hate you.
But that's, I was like, good. I don't want to say it's a bad thing, but Professor Poopy Pants in Captain Underpants gets an award for science stuff. That's the award. And then the lady reading out says, it's for Professor Poopy Pants. And then all the scientists laugh at him and he gets very upset.
Yes.
So that's the feeling that you have.
Yes.
Oh. You guys need to watch the movie.
Damn, I was like, I missed that one.
Every week on the podcast.
The reason why we have Ryan in the show here is because as a young comic, he's like a sponge.
I'm also a young comic, just by the way.
Yeah, but young in comedy.
You're getting paid to do gigs, am I right?
That is 100%
correct. You even used the word corporate in a sentence.
Yes, I didn't. He's lying.
I did
a gig that I don't normally do on a Thursday night, which is nice. For FNB.
And that's when, is it? Okay, so they'll hire the Goliath Club for the night. And then the comedians are in the lineup.
Yeah, they have a normal lineup of comedians. But
you should get paid a little bit extra.
I think so. I think I'm supposed to, but I don't know what's happening.
That's the sound of you not getting paid extra.
How are your gigs going? Broke.
I have been doing no gigs, eh? Actually, I was in Durban last week doing the...
Yeah, you were. You did the whole Bat Centre. How did that look like? It was so much fun.
It is. It's a joll. It's madness.
That's a great venue.
Sanity. Yeah, it's a great venue.
And it doesn't get used often enough.
Yeah, well, I've booked it for the last 3 years, I think.
How did Daryl Williams feel about it?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
But is there still the Durban beef? Is there still going on there? Have they got over themselves?
No,
so
no.
Jeremy Atkins runs his On Fire. The other guys do 031.
Yeah.
And then there's another 031.
031 hardly does stuff anymore because I don't think they have budget. So what?
Then who's the other one? Flames on Us. What's the other one
on
called?
On Fire.
It's On Fire.
No, there's another one. Chili Hot Curry Burgers or something.
What? Oh, yeah. That's Masood.
Okay.
So he caters for the Indian crowd, so he doesn't really have to
fly comics. You know, it's hard to cater for the Indian crowd. And I once they made them a cocker brand, and they didn't like Cockabush.
Cockabush, man. Get it right. Okay, yeah. This guy. Are you talking about, is this the picture?
No.
No, okay.
No, that was me at drama school.
Jeez.
Oh, I have a history, my friend. Yes.
The man who has lived many
That was my
lives.
First headshot.
Let's see that.
You took it in
Oh,
bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I was never.
Good
I was never.
Handsome
I know.
Child.
I know. I was, and then the heroin started.
It's just that sweet heroin.
Yeah.
But no, you know what the thing is? Like your knowledge is sitting there. Have you ever thought of just writing once a day, just writing stuff? What you did in 1970 something? Just those things, because these young comics, you have got stuff.
Yes.
Your tattoos are there. There's Rolling Stones. We know that you're a mod.
Yes.
Let's call it. What is a mod for the people who know? What would a mod be? In a
modernist.
And where's the movement?
It was from 1960. Early 60s into Tamla Motown, soul music, Italian
clothes.
So
that's why you tweeted yesterday about Aretha Franklin, because that's part of that's your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Rest in peace, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, fantastic. Just no, because I wrote on the thing that I say a little prayer, that scream she does at 2:30.
We'll find it.
Aretha, you know, all those Mariah Careys who do all the vocal gymnastics, and you go, yeah, fuck off. Just sing and... sing from inside and power. Wow.
Because of the mod dressing, because that style was also ska music and there were other things that came through.
Skinheads.
Did you ever do in a band?
No.
Not.
So Motown fitted into that?
Yeah, all that stuff.
And the fact is that she was in Detroit when she died. It's like a proper...
Yeah. Oh, she was fantastic. Yeah, she was.
Her roots.
Yeah, she's royalty. Do you know what I mean? She's proper.
Yeah. Just looking for the song.
This is a very quiet
No, it is. It
podcast.
Is.
No.
it's so nice to have you, Richard.
It feels like a conversation around sad things like death.
Who? Okay, just for we'll take it up a level. Yes. Which celebrity should die that no one that no one gives a fuck about?
Call it. Who's going to die before 2018?
Let's just say, like, because we're all sad. Aretha Franklin died on the same day as Elvis, and someone correlated that and said the king of pop died, the king of rock died on the same day. And someone said, no, Elvis stole stuff. She was the original. And I kind of agree with that.
Yeah,
he never wrote songs. He always would phone people and say, have you got something? You got something? And he phoned a lot of black studios and said, what songs have you got that you don't want on your...
Well, no, that was Colonel Parker.
Yes.
It wasn't really... Elvis was always... He tipped his head to his... It was his manager. He was a...
The manager said... Was it Parker?
Colonel Parker,
Colonel Parker said, you're exactly what I want. You're a white man who sings like a black man.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. You could do that in those days in the boardroom.
That
was acceptable.
Yeah, that sentence wasn't out of place at all. Cool. Yeah, that's what we need.
It's a selling point, yeah? So it's a selling point. If it's a selling point, you can discuss it, I'm sure. Like, regardless of what it is.
So now, say a little prayer for you. At what point is it? Two minutes what?
Around 2 minutes 30.
Say a little prayer.
I say a little prayer. Yeah.
Really?
It's a great
song. I don't know if I'd know the song. Maybe.
You should know it.
You should know. Everybody knows.
No singing on the podcast.
No, who's gonna, should we all try and hit the same note?
No.
Is that
no,
what's going to happen?
No,
okay.
Please. We don't have medical aid for that. All right, here we go.
Sits but churchy.
Say a little prayer for me, so. It's because the giveaway's in the title.
He clicked on a random Nigerian video. It said TV Nigeria on his screen.
Yeah, we were talking about Aretha Franklin.
I have no faith
wow.
in
that.
Franklin, my dear, I don't give a damn. They're clapping for her now. That's quite nice.
Nice.
So I can't tell you what's happening on the screen other than she's sitting at a piano in a very large coat. And she's going to sing... Carole King's
she's
song.
Doing and Carole King's there.
Yeah, Carole King's there and she's,
and she's going mad. And she's going Carole King's going
Carole King's going berserk.
I actually listening to this song on the way in.
Yeah. And Obama's there crying.
There's just a lot of crying. I'm getting chills as well now.
Yeah.
He is crying.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He knew she was going to die.
I think it was a thing.
Well, everyone's going to die.
I think it was a thing for Carole King. It was people getting up doing her songs.
Yes.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
I think Carole King's going to die.
Everyone's going to die.
Everyone's going to die. So I've got news for you.
Sad news. Yeah. Sad news. Everybody fucking dies.
The person that they most want to die is always Vanilla Ice.
But he's been alive.
Bisha, you make me feel like a natural comedian. Tribute over.
Yeah.
Yeah. We managed to take a really serious moment.
I'm so glad we did that while I wiped the tears from my eyes.
Yeah.
Well done, I wiped my ass. Well done.
Nice.
I have a tear duct in my bum. All right, haters.
That's a real medical condition.
That's a weird place to keep a tear duct.
Have you never seen on the pills it says there, anal leakage?
Anal leakage, no.
That was the name of my band.
Oh, shit.
That's the punchline.
Martin, something now on a serious note. You have a slight stutter.
Yeah.
In natural talkie out there.
Yeah.
But on stage, it's not there.
Natural talkie.
Hey?
On stage, it disappears.
Because it doesn't talk on stage.
Do you think that comedy, hey?
Doesn't ever speak on stage, that's why.
He doesn't speak.
No, just shout at people. I just shout at people. Yeah.
You know what happened? When I hire you for some stuff, the guy says, I said, who's Martin Davis? Because he gets upset. He goes like Martin Evans, Martin Jonas, Martin Davis.
It's confusing.
So he kind of says, so I go, oi, fucker. He goes, that guy.
Ah, that guy. Yeah.
So how
because I was fostered. I was fostered out when I was a kid, and the lady I was fostered to had a stutter and I emulated it and you do as a child. It's like a speech pattern because it's not a lisp or anything. It's not something that you have to have, and if I think about it and you breathe and you do all
it's
that
gone.
You don't, but then I couldn't
so
you know,
became
in everyday
a confident
life, I
way
care,
she was
know?
A confident woman so you
but,
you kind
but,
of
but she just had a slight and then you just hear it as a speech pattern and you pick it up. Yeah, but
comedy,
it was never
the
that
comedy,
bad.
Yeah, the comedy you know helps because you're doing a set.
And you're talking and it's public speaking. Like, I went to drama school. I could do plays and I would never stutter in the play. You know, so. That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Have you got an interview? What's your impediment, Richard?
I don't have a stammer. Or
you're perfect in
I
every way.
I just sound very coloured.
That's a heavy cross to bear.
It's not a bad thing. Just okay, we're going to do this now. People listening, you have to guess who's speaking. Go.
Hello, how are you guys doing today? I think it's quite obvious who's speaking.
It's going to be weird.
Especially, don't speak.
It's weird.
Hello. I think you may guess.
Now, Martin, you're involved in...
The Dr. Doolittle's out
okay,
there.
Okay, can we see who's speaking now?
Yeah, so this is what it sounds like when we speak.
Yeah, it sounds like this.
Because we have accents in this country that are regional. You can tell it. Someone say, "What's a South African accent?" I say, "You,
it's impossible."
Idiots. When you came here as well, you kind of knew. When was your first time you were here?
No, but it's the same. It's the same everywhere. You go in London. There's
regional.
There's North London and there's South London. Oh. You go South London, they go talk like that. There's South because it's slower. Yeah. So they go South London.
Which football teams do they support?
oh, who cares? but then you go North London and they're quicker and they talk quicker like that and they're like that bit like, you know. So
your team is
Arsenal.
Arsenal, okay. Arsenal. And you've been staunch. You'll never give up. You don't care about the which
they
manager
test you
it is.
Every season.
Well, no, I was doing a gig once and I said to this guy, I said, who do you support? And he went, well, I used to. And he didn't even get any further than that. No. I was like, excuse me?
Sorry, you
used to support someone?
So you're more loyal with your football teams than you are if you're dating someone?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Didn't even take a beat.
No, you support your team. That's your team.
Yeah, you don't
for good or bad, up and down.
So have you not been influenced by any of the local dialects or accents?
No, I get I become more me the more I'm here.
So you anti?
I am going to become a Dickens character if I'm here for like no, you know what I mean?
You're just going to become so English.
All right, it's a real Pete Super Show. It is. Oh, lovers, Mary Poppins.
Because in South Africa, if you go to even Joburg North and the East
and
Rand,
the south is also south.
It's completely different journey, and that's 35 kilometers.
Yeah, it is.
South
London's like 8 kilometres.
There's differences all the time.
How do you know?
There's a river.
Am I in North London? I mean, river.
That's a river.
This is what I want to speak to you about. So you came here when? What year?
40. Well, I've been coming here for a long time, but
first time when someone said, come to South Africa, was it Sam Hendricks?
Yeah.
So he had seen you over
He hadn't seen me. He went to London. He was trying to get axed to come to his first comedy festival, and all the big agencies just quoted him stupid money.
Really?
So then he went to my mate Noel Faulkner, who owned the comedy calf, and he said, "You got?" And he goes, "Oh, I know a guy. You could have because
he specifically wanted you as a host.
No, he loves traveling, and he gets very excited when he goes places, and he'd be perfect for you. So I did the first one
it for fuck all.
Yeah, I did the first one. I mean, I was the only, I was the English act. He had an American, who was billed as American, but he lived in Cape Town. Do you know what I mean? It was very peaceful, but it proved successful. The next year, loads of us came out.
Okay. So they kind of realized, the first time that the managers went mad, ooh, South African comedy store.
Yeah.
We'll quote our pound's prices.
Yeah, and they just went bonk. And then it was popular. And then after that,
people don't realize that as a promoter, you're dealing with agents and they have the set fee for what it is.
And also, I think
the comedian just wants to work.
But you know what I mean? I think they thought bringing people here, South Africa.
They'll do that, fuck you.
Are running, and Casper's driving around, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's before the Caspers.
Well, no, that year was 1990.
It was just after, it was literally after, only just after Mandela had come out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so that was the first Smirnoff Comedy Festival, but he went big, hey? He had buskers in the street. With the banners of the comedy festival. So it took people out of the... It was a clever way of doing it. It was sort of Edinburgh Festival way of doing it.
Right.
Took the comedy festival into the streets. So buskers,
and jugglers. He used to do like two shows. He'd have like your mainstream show and then he'd have the danger zone.
And then he had a late night studio.
Was that all in the Central?
It was at the Baxter.
Oh, okay. Oh, in Cape Town.
Yeah. So he had two big theatres running at the same time.
And it was, in terms of audiences, it was something they'd never seen before. They'd maybe seen Mel Miller
and
Joe Parker.
Maybe Barry Hilton.
And a young John.
On that level was young comics just coming in and doing...
Well, people like David Cowell coming through.
Oh, yeah, David Cowell.
In fact, in the first lineup was David Cowell.
He was on the newcomers thing, I remember,
Wow. That is dope.
Yeah.
So there you were. And then what made you stay? Because you said you came for the first one, and then I figured you out as a host.
I think Sam did 12 of them, and I did 9 of them.
12. So they ended up changing it to the Cape Town Comedy Festival.
Just every year we go, you know. So out of the 12, I think I did 9.
And then there was a bit of a hassle with some payment for some of the guys wouldn't come.
Oh, no. Well, they always used to. No, they always used to. Sam always used to pay after the festival.
Oh.
And like my mate Noel, said to him one year, he knew that one year he'd flip on him. He'd do the festival and wouldn't pay. So he said to him one year, I want my money now. And Sam said to him, well, no, I haven't got it. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay the acts not to come. Right? Because I know you're going to screw me one time.
Yeah.
So I want the money now.
Yes.
And
I'd rather give them the same fee to stay home.
Yeah, I haven't, because you haven't got time to, so pay me.
Noel's got lots of money. Let him.
Because he knew he was going to flip on him.
Is he still? Because he knew that every festival has a peak and it runs and he knew he'd flip
on him one year. Mm. So he did that. So then, Sam then was doing it a few years later with someone else, and he did exactly that.
Sure.
He flipped on the girl.
Oh, man.
Just in, and then she had to pay because she's the one who booked her.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So my friends used to
that
say
agency
in,
had to pay her.
In England, he said, I know when I'm getting paid for one of those gigs when I'm being booked for the next one. So you did the gig the whole year, waited for your payment. But when you get booked for the next one, you get paid for the last year.
Yeah, because the way it did, Noel would pay them and then Sam would pay him. So Noel knew that one year he'd flip on him. And he said, I'm not.
These things don't happen anymore. Do they happen anymore, Richard? Did you pay your guys in Durban?
I did pay them, but it does happen, though. It happens.
I've known friends who've got New Zealand from England. Whoa. And haven't got paid. Do you know what I mean? You go there for a month.
Doesn't make sense. Like no other business would run like that. You wouldn't run a courier company with something.
And, you're too far away to get lawyers on it. You just
it's a mission.
It's gone. You know what I mean?
Far to get shafted.
Yeah.
So they probably paid for the air ticket, at least.
Yeah, they got them there, but they got nothing else. They got no money for their shows.
See, we love performing.
Yeah.
We love it. We'll sit backstage and who wants to go? Do you want to do 5 minutes? We'll do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of strength to go, as the curtain opens, to walk on stage and go, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't been paid for this gig. So sit backstage. Hope you don't mind. I would do that because I'm stupid.
Yeah.
But a lot of comedians won't do that.
Yeah.
Because you really are. Now the promoter's sitting there backstage.
Well,
now
I have a rule.
I'm scared of them.
I won't do the gig again if I haven't got paid for the one before. Because you do go, nah, come on.
Here's a question as a young comedian. Gigs.
Yeah,
should you not have contracts before you do the work? Is that not a thing comedians should do? I know that is a lot of admin, but if this is commonplace.
I do a gig, but like, I can't imagine now I must write, Dave Levinson agree to do 50 to
that's for minutes. that's for the 300 rand gig at the box. You need a contract.
Obviously for bigger money, but I mean
for bigger money, that's what agents are for. Let them fight your fight. It's horrible. You must always be the nice
guy.
When
you say bigger money, you're talking what, like
corporate 10, 15, 20,
it's corporate
20,
stuff,
grand.
And it's a festival.
I'd say 10 grand.
And a festival would be over the month, so you
get, and you're going that's proper money.
And a month of your
agents do it, and there are contracts. That's the thing.
Okay.
So like,
but when people are sequestrated or if they declare themselves bankrupt, those lawsuits can't happen because you're protected by that fact. But also, you screwed yourself if you're bankrupt, if you declare yourself sequestrated.
But 50 Cent declared himself bankrupt and he has...
What's he got now? No, he had 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
But that's... the laws
are
different.
He had himself, man. He had himself.
Self to blame.
No, he had
piles of money.
Yeah, it's just that he didn't have liquid money. That's why it's just a funny law in America. He was still rich as fuck.
So what didn't have declared money?
He didn't have enough, like...
Well, the life he was living, liquidity is what you need to...
Yeah. So he had tons of assets, like just not enough liquid
like
wealth.
Like Toni Braxton was declared bankrupt at one point, but she had like her monthly bill or monthly cost or something in the high millions.
She's going to die.
So if you can't get... if you can't get less than... If you don't have less than, let's just say 200 million, you can't afford 200 million a month.
Oh, I see.
You're still bankrupt, even though you have 100 million.
Oh, then I'm bankrupt as well then. I can't afford my
morally bankrupt, David.
So yeah, you can apply for bankruptcy.
That's I'm not morally bankrupt. You can ask the homeless guy that stays in my house.
Because 50 Cent owed people money and he declared himself bankrupt. So he didn't have to pay child support and that type of thing. So bring his child support costs down, you declare yourself bankrupt and then you don't have to
pay. That's what I'm saying happens in these court cases. The guys do that to protect themselves, then you can't touch them.
Yeah. Or you stick loads of money in a pension because you can't touch a pension either.
All right, well, there's ideas.
You stick loads
more
of money
in.
Yeah. Yes.
People might not know who you are, so I want to give a face.
Thanks,
to
Dave.
No, we don't know who anyone is in this country. We don't celebrate our fame. No guys go and say, I'm the guy. Because if you do, you get told you do it.
At best, you're trying to
avoid
it.
You've been in a Castle Light ad. There's a band playing the beginning of the ad, and then the thing
flips.
Okay, so you were the old school way of thinking.
I was the failed rock singer, I think. Yes,
but I mean, it was a well shot ad.
It
had
very
a lot
good.
Of special effects.
It
I
was
mean,
lovely.
In fact, the stuff came out of the floor. There was smoke in there, and you were singing a foreigner song.
Cold as Ice.
Yes.
I grew to hate that song.
But right. How many takes did you have to do?
You can never hate that.
No, song. No, it wasn't so much that. It was all. It was like they started at 6 a.m. They did the club scene. Then from 1 to something they did the crowd scene, and then from 7 to 1 a.m. it was just us on stage, and it wasn't, it was just literally like, you know, shots from afar, then they'd have to come,
did they play the music
and then they did like thingy shots, so, and then they had to take all the stage down and then do the flip thing with the, you know, to get all that effect. It was all bang. It wasn't like delays.
Okay, cool. So
it just takes a long time to film anything.
You in a purple suit? Did you keep it?
I kept that purple suit. Yes.
Whenever I walk past Ben Sherman, I always think, why don't they sponsor you? Because
I think
they should.
I think that. Now, I went in there once and I literally lectured
The sales
the staff. No, on the clothes. I was literally
because
going.
Because Benjamin has that.
No,
no,
seriously.
Style.
Do you know why that's called a Harrington jacket? Do you know why that's this? Do you know what? And they're going, no. And they're going, and they're looking at me, going, who are you? How do you know all this stuff about
I'm
the
Jack
clothes?
Harrington.
I am Jack Harrington. And then you shot him.
No,
Jack Reaper.
Why is it called a Harrington?
It was from Jack it was Reacher. From a TV soap in America called Peyton Place, which was starring Ryan O'Neill, and he used to wear a jacket. That jacket, yeah. And his character was something Harrington, so it became a Harrington jacket.
Oh, sure.
So they don't think of the names in England that deeply.
It's colloquial.
Yeah.
And who was so famous and who wore it? Yes, let's name it after
the Michael
guy.
Jackson shoe.
Glove. So then, Ben, let's get you a contract with them.
Oh,
we'll say that we spoke
them
about them on
Paul
the radio.
Smith. You know, Paul Smith clothes, yes, anything yes. like, oh, any of those kind of guys, yeah.
But then you grew up with these the thing is, we had a ban on a lot of music here when I was a kid. So if I heard a record, it came illegally here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So the music you had, it was an equity ban. So a lot of artists signed a thing saying, and so when apartheid's ended, you can have our records, up till then you can't.
Right.
So we got Noam, Paul Weller, we got all right. Mod stuff, we got nothing until...
And then suddenly you got it all at once.
No, but then it was too late.
So where did you get your music from?
Music was from a friend of mine that his father went overseas, brought back records. Yeah. So yeah. It was amazing having, if you were that guy at school that had the record.
That's it.
We're talking, even if it was Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Like if you got that in 1978.
Yeah, no, just, I've got a friend here who told me that they went to Germany or something and his sister, they dumped all her clothes and bought literally in her case.
Then there was a record
and
shop.
And when they were coming through, they stopped him and he went through my mate's case but didn't touch his sister's. And it was packed with records, literally with records.
And also, there was a ban on the music because it had freedom songs.
And they'd scratch. Didn't they used to scratch?
They would scratch. Oh, yeah, that's on the radio, they would scratch. Yeah, yeah. But the music that my mom had a friend who lived with and her son was in England. So he bought Peter Tosh Uprising.
Yeah.
Yes, Uprising.
Yeah.
That, so I was listening to that when I was 9 years old, age of my kid now. So I'm listening to a song about fully on the part. He mentions the name Johannesburg, and I'm listening to this.
It's prohibition.
And that's
music.
What my friends start saying to me, like, this is what's happening in your country. So there's enlightening moments
yeah.
that you right. don't know that you're going to get. Like right. Sean Thompson said, he was a surfer, he's a thing. He invites his friend from Hawaii, I'm a world champion, come surf. Gets to the hotel, and the Hawaiian guy can't book into the Malibu. Or to the Tropicana Hotel, whatever it's called. Couldn't book in. Beverly Hills.
Because
1970, whatever.
Well, yeah.
Because racism.
That's when his enlightenment moment was going, hang on a minute, I live in this country, I had no idea these things are there. Because you're white.
That's what happens right here. But like music also, because music only really changed, I would think, like after CDs and the internet came out.
Not really.
Until that point,
there were such like a record shops, man. My youth was spent in record shops.
You couldn't access music. Like you'd have to wait for it to get into a CD shop.
Yeah, it wouldn't come to the radio stations. It wouldn't come to radio stations.
Right.
It took a while. Like now you can, the music comes out today, you can have it.
You get it 2 months before.
A lot of Ryan's music that he does on Instagram is leaked on purpose.
Yeah.
In fact, the name of his band is
Leaked. It dribbles out.
My tear duct or my ass.
Yeah. It's actually leaked. Inspired by your tear duct. His two you bands
song
named
about my ear duct?
I will tear this duct? Weekend. I will this weekend.
Okay, make it nice. Don't make it rude because it's a real thing. Okay. Don't make it into a rude thing. And Martin, something else, business-wise.
Yes, dear.
You do a lot of club gigs.
Yes.
And I kind of understand how the business model works in South Africa. You can't survive if you're not doing corporates. But your act isn't a corporate
friendly
act.
No. No, I'm a corporate act if you've... If your
company's going down the tubes and you want to fire your staff
and you just want to go, so you could be him. You know what I mean? You're being retrenched, but look. Look at him. Look at this poor sod.
That's a niche. So if you are retrenching your staff, you want to cheer them up.
No, I'm the guy. If you're the guy who's booking it, he likes me, but I'm not a if I just turn up and you've booked a comedian, I am not the person you want.
Okay.
Because I'm going to scare the daylights out of it. Do you know what
so
I mean?
Then, so then I want to know, business-wise, how are you surviving? What's happening?
I don't eat very much.
Fair enough. Just that heroin is so expensive.
The heroin.
Stop mentioning the H word.
Yes. We're doing things. I'm doing this thing with Airbnb.
This is what I saw now on the emails. Yes. So Airbnb, an international, big, massive...
And I've got
one
a thing,
of those startups.
And I've got a thing where we do this Cape Town comedy experience. People come over. you bring them to the gigs, you do, you chat to them before the gigs.
So let's start at the beginning. So does Airbnb know about this? So yes. When you book it, they'll say,
their
by the way,
it's on their platform.
If you want to, if you're in Cape Town, get hold of these guys.
Yeah.
So you take them to the comedy club.
You chat to them before. No. You're not allowed to. That's part of their thing. You're not allowed to, because you're not insured to pick them up or anything. But no, they come to the club. You chat to them before the gig. You introduce them to other acts. You talk to them.
Is it only in Cape Town?
Well, I live in Cape Town, but you know.
That should be available. I would do that. Imagine.
And then you chat to them about
how much knowledge a comedian's got.
And it's all the people we've done it for, they seem to enjoy it because it's like being a tourist, but you get underneath the...
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
You get underneath.
Ground level tourism.
It's nice, because...
Yeah. Also, the comedian will take you where you wouldn't... No tour guide would take you there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then you meet Gino and then you're never seen again. you're sold into white slavery and...
Is Gino part of it?
He takes off his hat. He's part of the African experience.
That's funny. Gino's everywhere, bro.
Yeah, you know the German girls that come down and have their
if
African experience.
If you're on Instagram,
experience.
Just before you press like, Gino will say like.
You know,
like
3 days in, 3 days in, and they're having their hair braided.
I was just going to say, white chicks.
The white chicks who come down,
He takes off his hat and
they've got their...
And when you get your
vision back.
They've
got new black boyfriend. Yeah, okay. And you're having your African experience.
That is exactly Gino.
Yeah. Okay, but that's a cool business model.
And it's
you've
nice
taken
because
something
it
that
is,
didn't exist.
And it is what it is. It's nothing. Because you look, if you go on Airbnb, you see some of the experiences and you just go, there's these hippie artists.
They call them experiences. I haven't been on Airbnb. So you book your room, but then they say, are you interested in
and
what
stuff,
you also offer?
There's other stuff going on.
Okay.
You know, do you want, but there's one on there is these hippie artists. They take you out to a forest and will make art
with your shit.
With stuff that's there.
Oh my God.
And they're charging you 650 rand.
That's the shit
to go to a forest and make art with twigs and you're going,
so
oh, do shut
so what up. did you make?
This hair. I made this hair out of moss.
I'm wearing this because it cost me 600.
But that's not a bad experience. I mean, maybe $600, but it actually
that's
is because take them into the Tokai Forest where you could get murdered by Gino.
I'm probably sure they offer you mushrooms though. It sounds like they offer you mushrooms.
I would do some art, man.
Yeah,
okay. I thought you were gonna say they make the art with their own shit or something weird.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No rules in the forest.
I wouldn't be surprised
because you know that old saying: it sticks like shit to a blanket. Let's put that onto Mythbusters.
I'd like to put it out there. I've never heard that saying before. Yes.
That is
so
new.
I'll second that.
I've never heard that.
It's from a Clint Eastwood movie. Like, he said something about the law case. He said, we'll get this case to stick to him like shit to a blanket.
Wait.
It's not really a saying though, Dave, is it?
It is Google.
It's like, are you laughing at my donkey? He says that, but it's not really a saying.
It's just saying that.
It's just, yeah.
Clint Eastwood says that.
He said that.
Do it in Clint Eastwood voice.
And he goes, are you? No, I don't. But he goes, are you laughing at my donkey?
Okay,
is the donkey hilarious?
Okay, you be the donkey, right?
Okay, I'm the donkey right now.
Or he goes, was
you
it,
laugh,
I want,
what's it, you I laugh want, at my donkey? Laugh at me?
Or was it, I want six coffins. No, I make that seven.
No, that'd be Clint Eastwood. Are you laughing at my donkey?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I was there. Yeah.
Are you feeling lucky?
Do you funk?
Well, are you punk?
I'm hung like a Einstein and clever as a donkey.
Do the shit against the blanket thing in his voice.
That'll stick like shit to a blanket.
He has never said that. You fucking made it.
You know,
up.
The funniest thing Clint Eastwood said was in that movie. What's it called? Magnum. That one.
Yeah.
Magnum. Was the movie Magnum?
No, Magnum Force.
No, his name was Callahan.
Callahan.
That one.
Magnum is Tom
Selleck. Magnum Force. Magnum was he was in a movie called Just Magnum.
Yeah, he was in Magnum.
All right.
What's the one where he rolls with the orangutan?
Every Which Way But Loose.
Yes.
He rolls with the orangutan.
The orangutan.
Clyde left turn.
But and the orangutan knows everything.
The famous one from the movie, which is Do You Feel Lucky Punk? That movie.
Yeah.
So Callahan was the detective.
Yeah.
But his boss is the guy. The mayor's always on his ass.
Yeah.
Every time Callahan comes in, the mayor's all over me. Why do you do this? And then Callahan's like this. He just gets things done. So he says, you need a court of law. You can't be in the court, in the streets, doing the legal stuff. Yeah. This is a rapist. How do you know he's a rapist? And he says to his boss, he goes, when a man's running down the road with his pants by his ankles. Now, he's not collecting for the Red Cross, now, is he? Damn it, Callahan.
But that, those old movies always had those characters, so the
and those the old police. Movies stick to me like shit to a black.
That's saying, yes.
There's always the captain, Like the one that always like find always Spider-Man, black. Find Superman.
He's always black as well. Captain's always black.
Yeah. Oh, we had white guys.
Always smoking movie, in the office. Don't give a fuck.
Smoking. Yeah. He's putting out a cigarette and lighting another one. And he's taking his pills.
And he's shouting.
We can't have you doing this.
Get out of my office.
And he's got like a whiskey on the table. Like, no.
Have you ever had anyone like, I had an agent who was like that. Also that sort of manic, everything was chaos. I said, stop doing the chaos and start maybe with just that's reading your email. That's why it's chaos. It wasn't Emirates.
And there was
Google doesn't have
so
it.
Now how have you I've seen some of the testimonials of the guy saying and it was so can we start this in Joburg? Would you do it, Richard? Would you have five guys meet you at Goliath?
But yeah, but you'd have to go through to do it, you have to go through Airbnb if you wanted to
okay.
do it.
So have you contacted Kurt's club and said we bring in them guys so you got a book table?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's and all in the thing and it's you know.
So you need a
So
they're not scared when they meet you.
So you need a PDP.
Well, they are, yeah.
So you need to get yourself a PDP now.
And I never understood that. That was just a collection
What's a PDP? Yes. Arm held device.
No, the public driving permit. Then you can.
That's the one, yeah.
You can transport
your child. Shit.
Wow.
How much do you.
This is a guy who kills people as a passenger.
Yeah, but I don't want to transport. No, but it's Uber. They can get
on the left is Cape Town.
On the left is Cape Town. How fast are you driving?
And it's gone.
And where are you driving?
You wanted to ask a question. What did you say?
Yes, I wanted to ask Martin, do Airbnb take some of the money? How does that work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're not doing it enough.
Yeah.
But you're using their platform to put it out there, and lots of people use their thing, so.
And would you generate a gig for, like a fake gig, just to show them?
I haven't.
Just have Gino on stage.
No.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Comedy Club. I'm Michael Caine.
No, because I think I tend to do it at the Cape Town Club because it's a nice club. It's proper run. It's at the waterfront. It's safe for tourists. It's not somewhere like Woodstock. Do you know what I mean?
Do you should get percentages of what they spend in the club?
No, it's a two-way thing. I'm bringing customers for them.
Why
and I've
they
made
buy
their
five bottles of whiskey?
Well, he'll probably get some shots
in the comedy club.
Yeah, they're not gonna. No, they're not gonna.
But I'm interested in that. So find out from them and let's do that. Yeah, because I'm not saying Joburg isn't a tourist venue, but there are beautiful places to go. I would love to take tourists. Mabuneng, those areas. The Box on Sunday would be a perfect platform.
Yeah,
I wouldn't because it's an experience. You know,
Parkers is weird because you're in the casino and I don't want a tourist to come to a casino.
Yeah.
You know?
No, the Box will work perfectly. Yeah. Let's do it. Dave, get us on Airbnb up
okay,
there.
Okay, Ryan. I asked Eric today if he wants to work for me. And he goes like this. He didn't even think about it. I said, Eric, do you want to work for me? I've got to come in. He goes, nah. Yeah, look up.
Instant. No, I looked you in the eye and I was like, nope.
Right. That's cold.
It would ruin our friendship.
That's cold.
Incomplete what he wanted to say. I was like, where is this place? And then he didn't give me any other
information. No, but the interview is quick. Like, do you want to work? You can't say, you know, where is it and who's going
to
be there.
It's important to know.
That is important information.
But I need to know if you're in. It's like when Jesus got the disciples, he didn't tell them what they were going to do. They were just like, we're in.
Okay, Jesus.
And they became famous.
You're not Jesus in this. Are you Jesus in this?
I feel like you haven't heard Sammy's joke about this.
Missing the point. Yeah. I'm God.
There was a joke where Jesus was doing recruitment. Sammy does the joke. He's like, Jesus was doing the recruitment. And then he got to the 11th disciple. And then he's like, Arthur, you're going to. Then Arthur was like, nah, man.
Why are Muslim people doing just, jokes about Jesus?
Like, no, I'm not happy with this.
I was just figuring I could take over the carpentry shop. You could pick someone else.
Yes.
And then he was looking around and the only other guy was Judas.
Mm,
was
like, bad pick.
You know what?
If you're available.
I mean, if you want to do this, it's like, yes, Jesus, I'm in.
You
so were you Judas in the story now by not saying yes to the gig?
Yeah, so who are you?
Arthur. Who am I? I'm Arthur, yeah. I'm like, maybe I could have something else to do. I don't know.
Martin, this interview's gone into Do you mind if we just quickly sort this out?
No. It's got very biblical.
Deal with this.
Eric, fuck you. So,
okay, we're done. No, but where's this place?
It's a beer gig and then you can come
with
beer.
Where?
We've been doing comedy and beer, so I'm just saying.
When? Where?
You September-ish.
See?
Martin, are you available? When you travel, these traveling things. I want to talk about traveling for comedians.
Yes.
You obviously travel light and you know how to travel.
Yeah.
I need like five proper comedian traveling tips because you're up and ready. You're on the plane a lot.
Yeah.
So I see you travel.
Have a bag always packed.
How many pairs of shoes do you carry for a two-night stay?
Sneakers.
Two pairs. So every night. So one pair per night.
Yeah.
That's standard.
Yeah.
Ryan, are you listening?
I'm listening. Soaking it up.
Sure. Ryan's got shirts that all look like that.
Yeah. that's the same shirt.
Yeah.
And yours are either Vans or Adidas.
But I'm a bit bad. Two pairs of change of underwear per day.
So you wear, because I've seen you naked.
Yes, Dave, you have.
Do you?
No, don't laugh. He has. He asked me to walk across his stage once in Grahamstown halfway through. because it,
no, here's the thing,
it would pick the crowd up.
And just explain which what the crowd is.
How did he get that? You can't even get Eric to agree to a gig, but he can get you to walk across the stage naked.
In the drill. Lord. Was it thank you, the Jesus. Drill hall?
The drill hall. Have you been to Graham's son, Rishi?
The drill hall.
So I say to him, if you have, and
he says, can you walk across halfway? But me, I'm sitting backstage.
Because he's got a show afterwards.
No, I got undressed at the beginning of the show.
He was just sitting there.
So I'm sitting backstage freezing, just going,
What time is it?
But the bit was not on.
And then exactly on half past, okay, I'll walk across now.
He went out backstage.
And I just walked across the stage naked.
There's no queue.
So I'm just doing my set.
And then suddenly the crowd, whoa.
So, but none of them noticed it. So one of the women just nudged and said, what the fuck was that? And I didn't make reference to it. I carried on doing the show.
How was the reviews?
It was great up until there's always someone sitting there doing the critique.
No, you know what happened in Graham's son? There were 20 people, and I said to him, if there's 20 people, will you do the naked? And I could see him looking through the little crack.
There's 17. Oh,
and
God.
Also, Martin naked is funnier than you naked.
It's not pretty.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's not pretty.
So it was just, and I didn't know he was going to do it, and he said, Dave, I'll let you know. And I'm in my mind, I'm doing my show, and I'm thinking, I wonder if he's done it yet. And then I heard his belt hit the ground.
Oh, shit. And I was like, that sound you've heard many times before.
So I said, if there's less than 20 people, will you do it? And I could just see him counting. I think there were 21. There was a kid in the audience. And then he walked around naked.
But why were you undressing so fast?
And Graham sounds cold.
It's cold, man. Yeah,
but did you have, was there growth? How cold was it?
It was cold, Dave, so... It didn't do me any good. Publicity-wise, no.
Did you not get some publicity after that? You know what I find weird?
No, but the police talked to me, yeah. Oh. So are you the English person?
Is that where that song comes from? Don't stand so close to me.
Yeah.
So we haven't covered what you need to pack for the weekend, though.
Well, obviously, I'm saying is hardly anything. But I've seen you naked in PE as well, where we shared a room.
I don't remember this day.
I don't remember you asking.
Yeah.
Myself, you and Rob van Vuren and Martin Evans went on a tour called the Funny Strike Tour. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. In your big, big van.
Yes, and then...
That we used to drive from petrol station to petrol station.
V8.
It guzzled so much petrol. We'd be driving, trying to find another petrol station to put... The most impractical.
Just done the gigs at the petrol station.
Yeah, it was the most impractical vehicle ever. It was fantastic.
But we did the gigs, and Martin didn't organise too well because we get there and the posters were just going up.
Why are we there?
What you want the poster to be up like 2 weeks before?
The prison, Graham's.
The prison. Now you're getting to how I saw you naked.
No. The prison. Isn't there a?
There's a jail. The old jail.
The old jail.
Is there a place? Is it called the old jail or is it the old jail?
No, it's the old jail.
Oh, so it's
and it's
jail.
So basic. You go in and I'm there and I'm going.
He booked us in. He booked us into the old jail.
And I looked at the windows and I remember thinking the windows are really clean.
There's no
windows. And I said to Evans, no. Even I go no. No,
that's
not
your limit.
When it was a jail, there was a bar. There were bars there.
Yeah. But there was no
windows, and it's Graham's time.
Yeah, in the summer maybe, but no, not in the winter. Not when it was cold.
But that's how he booked us. He booked the cheapest accommodation for the gigs.
And where was
the
other
money.
Place? Yeah, didn't I get bed bugs? I got. Yes, I was bitten all down one side from the bed. Jesus. I remember that literally. Yeah. Oh,
what is wrong with you?
Martin Evans mustn't organise tours.
You
want to come tour with us?
Yeah, it sounds really delightful. I'm sure Rishi's dying to jump on
Ryan,
that.
Ryan, it's great stories, man. You've got to
come. Oh, no, I'm there. I've got no standards. I'm there.
Ryan eats bed bugs.
You sleep still just so that they come out of the mattress.
But you should always carry your own sleeping bag, though, if you go to Graham's Town.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. So let's start from the beginning. One dress shoe, one walk around shoe.
Yeah.
Comfortable walking around shoe.
Yeah.
Don't get...
I just go to.
I'm not saying Converse are not lacquer, but Converse and those Levi's aren't lacquer for
Graham's.
You've got to put your shoe on the table here, we'll take a photo. Sort of kind of like a walking running shoe.
Boom.
With a good support here. Lovely support on the arch, and then it's got an anterior sideways for the pronator.
And
then the supinator you can get from the inside of the toe with a lovely
an
protective.
This is great for the radio here. Yeah.
like shit to a blanket.
But I want to be on that show. What's it called on MythBusters, where they test
MythBusters. I think the show is MythBusters.
They must test if shit does.
It's in the name again. It's in the name again.
MythBusters.
If Mythbusters can put other things that stick to, like,
we could
shit
do
our
own local. We could do a local Mythbusters.
I just need some, a blanket and
like,
some shit.
Like you can say, every time you stick your finger in the air, you'll end up in town. Then you just take a taxi, stick your finger in the air, jump in.
Myth, but really,
I mean, fucking eat,
let's
a
do it. That yeah. should be on. I would watch that on the stuff that comedians are putting out, because they were told at Comic Con to put videos out. Now they're just saying,
oh yeah,
my video tape, my fucking cornflakes.
They are.
No.
Those were hilarious cornflakes, Dave. I don't appreciate
you.
I'm going to sing a sad song.
Did you say they were talking about me specifically?
Yeah.
Foot sack. I made those videos before Comic-Con.
Okay, no, that's
no,
good.
No, we liked your videos. I didn't watch them, but we liked them.
We get amnesty. If you made the video before Comic-Con, you've got to say they're BC
doing Durban
AD.
Doing Durban colored accents.
And Martin.
Yes.
So we're packing light. We're doing things. Did you go to Comic-Con in Cape Town?
I did.
And how was it?
It was all right. Yeah.
What was the...
It was all right.
What did you get out of it?
Not very much.
Because are you an established comedian? Do you think Comic-Con was driven towards the young comics?
Yeah, there was some of the kind of social media. I found that guy a bit up his arse.
The social media guy.
There was one of the guys, and he was saying he said to the comics. He said you need to stop being lazy and write more material.
Okay, that's cool.
No, and I looked and I was like, and I went, when are you doing your next 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Shit, knowledge.
Right, and then he was talking about, like, housekeeping and talking about something, and he was trying to tell Tracy Clark, and I said, excuse me, you're trying to tell a Jewish mother how to work out their finances. Are you kidding me? Wow.
So then there's the key. You should split up Comic-Con into kind of the established comedians can go to a room and we'll chat about
things. That they're good, but relevant. all these young comics, they're always all about being on social media and having but then you see them and they can hardly do 10 minutes. It's all very well to be all over social media.
I'd say be a comedian first.
And then you have to be on it, like, you know, I posted this. You have to be.
You say that all the time, Dave.
But be a bloody comedian first.
About people posting stuff on social and having this amazing social following, and then people come to see them as shit.
I listened to this exact conversation yesterday. I was listening to the podcast. Neil Green has a podcast where they're talking about these dudes that do viral videos. So you do a viral video, you do, let's just say, 3 videos, and they go viral, and then everybody loves you. Then there's a organizer that books you for a comedy show.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wants you to do your videos on stage.
You know fuck all about comedy. So
well, who's that guy? Who's that thing? The Montreal fella.
Who was
that?
It was the gala. He's an internet comedian.
Yes.
Right? So he got picked to be in the top comedians to watch for that year. Now, he's an internet comedian, but he has millions. He's a proper YouTube guy. Went on his ass.
Yeah.
On his ass. The crowd were just like...
And if
you die at a gala, because the crowd are really up for it. They're like, these are the guys.
That's a proper death.
It's not
you
a...
suck.
Yeah.
They're not
they'll
a tough
give you,
crowd.
They'll give you
a lot of leeway.
There's a guy
on
Durban.
His ass.
There's a guy in Durban that does the video thing on stage. So if you've seen him do, I don't know, like him...
Like 5 minutes.
Talking shit about... cooking a curry.
So he'll do. You've seen it on the video on YouTube at work.
And he just
repeats
it.
People are watching YouTube.
Yeah, does like the video.
You see them in the office with the headphones on. They're still working. They're watching YouTube videos and they're laughing because that's their housewives and the people.
He sold out
to
buy it for like 6 nights.
That he does the video you just saw. He does it live.
It does it live.
Why
would someone pay? Comedy or timing. People pay. The thing is, this is the funny part. Is that you sell out the venue, which is the Zulu Theatre, for like say 6 nights or whatever. But people coming out are like, fuck that, I'll never come again.
But he sold out 6 nights.
He's like, alright, I've got
if he had done 7 nights, no one would have come. Because everyone coming like, don't.
But he'll keep doing it until he's saturated it.
Saturate his thing,
he's done it all.
So that's interesting.
So,
because I felt there was a little bit of a drive towards the old comedians, thanks for paving the way for us, and thanks a lot. And but you guys are out. This is how comedy works now. It's on the internet.
There's an age bracket for viral.
Well, sure, but then I would say if myself and Mel Miller came up with a lacquer thing and we filmed it, we'd be able to come up with something. Because
not
we've
viral.
Gotten, but we could
but
if we took it to that
viral,
level. Where I took him, say, I'm going to teach you how to use social media.
But
it'd be fucking funny.
This is also interesting that your fans are your age group, kind of a thing. So they relate to you and your stories.
And these fans are dead.
If you're 15 or 20 and you do a viral thing, your people are all these social media people who share. So Mel Miller's followers are never going to click share, which is
Mel Miller's followers aren't even on the internet, love.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
But do you agree with me then that there isn't an age gap on social? Yeah. But in comedy, I know my lineups that work.
No, on stage.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, just be funny, yeah.
But
so then
online,
that's cool. Then there's a definite split. So I would say for next Comic-Con, there is a definite social media separate room for one of the days where we go and the young guys can teach the older guys. Yeah. And the older guys can say, okay, that's cool content, but can I help you write something?
How do you work Twitter? You know?
Listen, I had to give a lesson, and it was quite weird how much you don't realize that you know. Because the guy said, someone told me to go on Instagram. He's old Toppy, wants to do this. So I said, what are you on at the moment? He's like, Facebook. So I said, okay, Facebook's more complicated than Instagram. So I'll show you. And his negativity towards the thing was so noticeable. You saw his whole
anything
body crumbled. He's like, I don't want to do that. I said, but someone's going to like it. Who's going to like it? Some random fucker in the middle of nowhere is going to like your picture.
Yeah.
No. Doesn't want it.
Which is really the opposite of the younger generation, because a random person liking it is that.
Well, like younger guys download
dopamine
any app,
spike.
Any app. Where what is it? They download it, use it for a day. If it's lacquer, they keep it. If they don't, they toss
on
it.
On which one of these apps are they going to lick my booty? That's what young people
Snapchat.
Like.
Snapchat.
And by lick my booty, you mean love me.
Yeah.
Or you don't mean actual literally licking someone's
well,
ass.
What I happens? Mean, that's Grindr. That's how you. That's how you get the booty lick.
Do you know that somebody had a fake profile using Jason Goliath's pictures on Grindr?
And got back.
Wow.
That's fire.
So Jason found out.
He found out.
But was he proud of it?
He's one of his friends, okay.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, dog.
I didn't know, bro.
He's like giving him hints.
I've been trying to fuck you for years, dog.
Wow.
I don't think they're that blatant.
Wow.
Bro, you make a very bad gay guy. So listen, we got to wrap this up. Martin Davis, anything else you want to tell us? Where are you working?
I'm at Parker's this weekend. And if you want to do the Airbnb, you go to my website, martindavis.co.za.
That's excellent. Thank you.
And you can book
internet
through there.
Rishley, you got gigs coming up. Thanks to say goodbye.
Yeah, man. I'm doing that beer fest thing on the weekend.
Which one?
I think it's next weekend.
Is it at the casino?
No.
Where?
It's in one of his state parks. I forget.
Okay, cool. But that's nice. Everyone knows now where to see you.
Yeah.
Ryan.
I got my first catering gig on Saturday, so wish me luck.
Do you want a cake?
Yeah. A crock.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Crockenbush.
I know what a crockenbush is.
My name is Dave Levinson. This is a Just Now Comedy Podcast. What's your name?
My name is Eric Jansen. And as usual, we will see you again just now.
This is CliffCentral.com.